You're listening to the Matt and Ez Show.
Hello and welcome to the Matt and Ez Show. I'm Matt.
And I'm Ez.
Guys, it's been a bit, not since our last episode, but since Ez and I did this solo, right?
Yeah.
You know, we've been interviewing people from TikTok and other podcasts, and that is a ton of fun, and we have a lot more of those coming. But you know what, Ez, every once in a while, it's kind of nice to just sit around, talk about the news, talk about what's trending, and, you know, drink some claws. So we are the White Claw Bras. So today we are talking about, you know, we talked a little bit about conspiracy theories last time. We did a Patreon episode on one, on some. Ez has one. He wouldn't call it a conspiracy theory. He calls it a fact. I might be just a hair skeptical on this one. So we will talk about that. There's been a lot of arrests and people leaving the White House. And is it time to call it the Big House, okay, in this administration? We're going to talk about the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League and the Robert Pattinson Batman. Are we in? Are we out? College football. It's going to happen in some sort of way or another. And then we're going to talk about keto. Ez has been doing it. He's lost like 30 pounds. I'm down 9, and I started like a week and a half ago. So let's get into it. Ez, tell me about your boy, Bob Lazar.
Well, first of all, I am there. If this guy's legit, I'm just going to say it. He's absolutely 100%. I believe every word that comes out of his mouth when he talks about his experience at the base. All right, so let me give you a little background on this guy real quick, and then we can kind of talk about some of the details and go to some of the stories. Essentially, Robert Scott Lazar. Right, he's born January 26th, 1959. The big deal is that he claims to have worked at an area called S4, and he claims that he was working on alien technology, and that he was helping to reverse engineer that technology. Okay, and so he makes this big. And this, by the way, there's a great Joe Rogan episode where he's on the show.
Right, which I watched.
So good, so good. And you got to watch the whole thing, though, because he really goes into a lot of really really neat stuff. There's a documentary on him. George Knapp also comes on in a later episode and talks to Joe about this as well, which is great. So yeah, I mean, He's just awesome. Jeremy Corbell is also the guy who does the documentary. Want to give him a shout out. So he does that, and it's pretty awesome. But dude, the gist of this is that this guy in like 1989 comes out. They're in Las Vegas. He goes to the big news station, and he is fearful for his life a little bit. He seems to have been harassed or threatened by the government. He was working on this project. The reason it started to go south, and I say he was because he was. People said he was. People can validate kind of, well, actually, no one at S4, actually. So here we go. This is already backpedaling.
Already started to fall apart.
Dang it. But no, so it's like, there's so much to this guy. Let me start with this. His claim to fame was that he put some jet engine on a car, and he makes the news. He is listed in that news article as a physicist. He had degrees. He had whatever. He was hired by the government, some private contractor in government. You know, government always, you know, getting these contract deals with different like scientists and groups of people to work on stuff. And yeah, like an article is written about him, and he's going to go work for this company. So like there is a background, some of his background, where it's documented that he is a scientist and that he did have degrees, and he legit was doing stuff, and he's been making experiments, and just his whole life has been revolving around science. Listening to the guy talk, he's a scientist through and through. It's something else. He claims to have, you know, taking classes at MIT and so on.
Claims.
He claims. And this is this is the weird thing, is that like the big problem for George Knapp when he was telling the story and he was talking about Bob Lazar, who first appeared on TV as Dennis. All right. He was all in, you know, they had him blacked out. And he tells his story, tells it straight up. He also passed like 4 lie detector tests, like in a row. He has passed them over the years. He's gone through hypnosis to bring back some of these memories, to try to recover some of like his understanding of the technology he was working on, some of the details. Just really, really, really interesting stuff. The guy has like a legit job at a lab as a physicist. Okay. He says that. They go to call, like, before he goes to S4, we'll call it Area 51. Before that happens, he had a legit job as a scientist. When they go back to that job, they've never heard of him. They don't know who this guy is, right? It took I don't know, 6-8 months. Yeah. They tracked down, like, a phone book. They tracked down a couple other things. And eventually they figure out he was there. People are waving to him saying, hey, Bob, like, they know who he is. Colleges don't have his degrees. They don't have records that he was there. So the government kind of went after this guy to try to like possibly to discredit him, you know? So, but the big deal, dude, the big deal is that he says he was working on this, like everything that he talks about has like sort of come true in a way, like some things that he's mentioned. I mean, we now know like in what was it, in the 2000s, right? And even 2010, 11 and 12, that the government releases these videos, and they actually do have programs where they are monitoring this stuff and they are funding some of these projects. So that's pretty wild. But he said the craziest thing to me was that he was working on an anti-gravity, antimatter reactor of some kind. That when you look at those glowing balls of light that you see, and the one that they were also flying, they were tracking down in the Tic Tac video. It was that was a recent. It's been all over the news. UFO spotted, fighter jets right. going after it. Right. Yeah. The way in which it moves is exactly how Bob Lazar described the movements back in the day. It matches perfectly. And he talks about the reactor, what it's using, the engine, the device, anti-gravity, what you can do with that. It's amazing, guys. If you have not checked this guy out and you have not looked into him, it is well worth your time. I think it is one of those UFO things where you're going to sit there and go, holy smokes, this guy, it very well could be legit. They have not been able to figure out, like, no, his story doesn't change, never. He passes the lie detector test. Everything he says checks out. When they go back and they're looking at, like did he go to college here? There are people, like, the college has lost the paper folder record. Like, he has lost like some stuff as well. Like, the things have been taken from his house. Like, it's radical. He's been raided by the government twice. The big deal is that he said that they were using, that there was a stable element 115, which, by the way, I feel like I'm going to get raided right now for saying that.
I don't have it. Yeah, exactly. It's like,
I don't have
where
it.
You might be. Yeah, yeah, we might be getting into territory here where it's like, oh, I don't even know if I feel comfortable, man.
Talking about this, I know. So the big deal was, I think he had said to some friends back in the day that he had actually stolen some of the fuel that was in this device, and that it was a stable version of element 115, which at the time hadn't been discovered They've been able to synthesize it, but yet they haven't been able to really create a stable version. And that's because it does not naturally occur here on this you know, on our planet, like this world. Mm-hmm. It's you know, extraterrestrial. So that was crazy to hear him talk about that. He described it, and then years later, you know, 115 comes out and right. There's that. I don't know, man. I was blown away. I was like, do we legit have, he claims that there was like, what is it, 8 or 9 spaceships in at S4. Mm-hmm. That he was working on, that he sat in. His friends all tell the same story. When he thought he was getting in trouble, and he was getting in trouble because, like, his wife was having an affair on him. The government was tapped into his phones. They brought him into the office and said, hey, Bob, you know, basically kind of gave him the indicator that, like, his wife is cheating on him, and we're gonna watch you. Yeah, like, they knew before he knew. I mean, he was blown away. And that's the worst part. He hates talking about that.
Or did they cause?
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. Some people believe that he is someone who has been like planted like by the gut, like that they did force him into this, and it's sort of one of those agents of disinformation type of situations. But that just doesn't make sense to me at all. So that's bizarre. But yeah, dude, this guy is he blew the whistle on Area 51. Area 51, like you think about like the fencing after Bob Lazar comes out and his friends had went out and they had filmed with their camera some of the high like the performance tests that they do with the alien spaceships, which is what Bob said that they do. They actually took a few of them out. They go up, they go down, they go left, they go right, move around and whatever. He took his friends out there to see some of this because he thought people would think he's lying. He kind of was starting to lean towards like, oh my God, I'm gonna get kicked out of the program. No one's ever gonna believe me. My wife's cheating on me. I think he kind of goes a little bit off the deep end. He never was really much of a, I mean, he's a guy who's putting a jet engine on a car. So he's not necessarily following all of the, regulations, restrictions, laws, whatever, you know, he's one of those guys. And he's gotten in some trouble. He did get in some trouble after he came out and got like massive amounts of public attention and stuff. He got himself involved in some, you know, prostitution ring stuff, which was pretty crazy. Yeah. That's wild, kind of discrediting. But I don't know, man. These guys that have followed him, Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp, these guys document, they're news guys. They cover all different types of news, not just ufology, but they cover everything. They have questioned him for over 30 years, and just no one can really... The biggest thing is that is his education, his background. Why is it missing? Why aren't there records? And he, you know, Bob says there are files and stuff. They're gone. They're taken. They're destroyed. The schools can't find them. But they are finding things like a phone book, right? He's listed in a directory
You gotta talk about the hand thing. That was the most interesting thing to me. I was like, okay, yes. This adds some validity to what this guy is saying.
Yes. He was walking in for a security check every day. He described the machine that he put his hand into and would measure the length of the bones in your fingers, you know, your finger bones. And supposedly that's close to a fingerprint. It's like really unique for every single person. It all sounded like science fiction to people, everything he was describing, except for the people who were also putting their hands in that machine every single day.
Right.
And they said, wow, Bob is literally describing they were working on other secret government projects or other government projects that were top secret around the country, watching George describe that, saying, I can't say a word about that. But when he said that, I mean, they can say it years later because they don't know, they no longer use that, or they're working on different projects. Some people have come forward and said, holy, when he was telling that story, I looked at the TV and said, that man is telling the truth. The only way you would know that machine existed is if you were actually entering a hangar bay where you needed top secret clearance, like tippy top. And it was like, wait a second, what? So then finally it comes out. There's a few picture of the devices, and Jeremy Corbell is in his documentary, which is called Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. It's on Netflix. You guys should watch that. It is legit amazing. They actually, while he was like recording all of this, they get raided by the FBI because of a conversation he was talking about. No, they were talking about Element 115. I actually still think Bob might have some of it. I don't want to send more FBI agents his way, but I mean, they looked for it. They were looking for something after he talked with Jeremy. So it's just a wild story, and I wanted to bring it up because the idea that you have these, like, the government now is like acknowledging, yes, we are looking into these things. They are unidentified objects. They're off the east and the west coast. We do not know what they are, and we're putting government funds towards this stuff. So that's where we're at. I mean, that's where we're at. The whole, I mean, on History Channel, I love the show Skinwalker Ranch, but before Skinwalker Ranch becomes a TV show, it's like legitimately a government funded operation. They're looking at that region for like at the unexplained things that, you know, cow mutilations, UFO sightings, beams of light, radiation, all sorts of crazy things that they can't explain. I don't know, man. I'm a believer. Okay.
So here's the thing. I am a believer as well, but it just seems like an enormous undertaking to discredit this guy. You know, because normally, let me just spell it. I'm with you. Go ahead. I want to hear it. I think it's possible that the government is way further along in their weapons and space and all this technology. So does that mean that it's alien? Now, I do believe in aliens.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I find myself leaning towards aliens have been here, but I'm definitely starting to lean far less on the idea that aliens were involved in things like the Sphinx and the pyramids and all of those stuff, because I am now a firm believer in this more ancient civilization, right? In that humans were more evolved until some sort of cataclysm wiped us out. So I think I now have more of a reason to explain some of that stuff, which just causes me to be less involved in the idea that aliens were involved in some of those things. I mean, when I pull this guy up on Wikipedia, he's literally called a conspiracy theorist as.
On Wikipedia.
That's just what I'm saying. Wikipedia, he's defined as a conspiracy theorist. So I mean, how am I, an average person, looking this guy up? Am I just supposed to believe that the government is discrediting him in order to hide secrets so that they can go unscathed, so they can just take it out on all on this guy?
Yes. Yes. 100%, dude. And the way he describes it is, it's not just like, oh, it's some alien sheet metal. The reactor he describes would be the most powerful object on the planet, and it would give whatever country had the ability to use it complete domination of the world. Like, it is, it's an anti-gravity, anti-matter kind of type of device. I mean, the way he describes it, and in talking to those pilots who were chasing down this craft, openly that is out there. They were chasing this craft down. They actually met with Bob Lazar. And they compared the way in which the craft would turn belly up, shoot forward, would create sort of this void, I don't know the physics behind it, but like, what, to hear him talk about it was freaking amazing. So very much so, it is well worth the government's effort to discredit one guy. If this is the guy who went out there and leaked it, he's whistleblowing. Yeah, we're going to do everything we can to discredit this guy, because I don't want anyone else to know that we have alien reactors and alien spacecraft that can possibly, like, he talks about the complete, like, sort of what you could do creating gravity to have a device that you can hold in your hand, this big, hold in your hand, and it can create its own gravity. It can create its own sort of pull, and you can amplify it.
I guess my thought on that is if we have that device, then why aren't we using it?
They are testing it, 100%.
So there's, but it's not weapons ready yet, is what you're saying. Like, it's not we can't just go over and.
No, so you know. So that's the thing, is that they don't actually know. So here's the other thing is too, its fuel source is element 115 pure, like the stable version of 115. It's believed he has a drop of it, Bob Lazar.
Yeah.
Okay, and it bends light and all this whole thing. He runs a cloud experiment.
What is element 115?
And so it is. It's a heavily, very dense type of element. He describes it in the thing, but they've only been able to like have synthesized unstable-ish versions of it. So you actually don't even have enough fuel.
Moscow-vium.
Yeah, that sounds right. I looked at the
Moscow, huh?
Dude, the Soviets were there for a while, according to him and according to others.
It's a synthetic chemical element with the symbol MC and atomic number 115. It was first synthesized in 2003 by a joint team of Russian and American scientists in Joint Institute for Nuclear Research in Dubnia, Russia. In December 2015, it was recognized as one of the new elements by the Joint Working Party of International Scientific Bodies, IUPAC, On November 28th, 2016, it was officially named after the Moscow Oblast, of which JINR is situated. It is extremely radioactive and is the it is most stable known isotope, has a half-life of only 0.65 seconds.
Here's something interesting. The reason I think a lot of people believe this guy's story is before Bob comes and tells his story, look at how many people knew about Area 51. Not very like what was going on there, what was happening, some of the bases. It was secret.
When does he break his story?
It was 1989, I think. Yeah. So an interview with Las Vegas investigative reporter George Knapp, he made his claim that that he worked at a top secret military base S4 near Pappalus Lake, where his job was to reverse engineer crashed alien flying saucers. And it is crazy. It is actually kind of crazy when you first hear it and you think about it. But since these recent, like, you know, just the types of UFOs, their flight patterns, the things that he's described, we actually now have a video. We can actually legit see, when you listen to his description and you listen to the flight patterns and what it could do, and then you look and you see what this alien craft could do, it's amazing. They were dropping from 80,000 feet in the air in less than a second, hitting the surface of the water, dropping from outer space. Like, that's the stuff that, like, you don't actually see on the film. It's in the video. It's actually even beyond sort of their radar or whatever. But they were, you know, it's nuts to hear these pilots talk about what was happening before they're scrambled. They're watching these multiple, numerous craft drop over 80,000 feet. Like, what? I mean, just like. Just nuts.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is pretty interesting here. 1982, Alamogordo Daily News features his jet power car, which achieves speeds of 200 miles an hour. They described him as a physicist. Then the Los Alamos National Library disavows him. He alleges that his records have been erased. And then some people came out and said, well, he was employed by some of his skeptics. He was not employed by the government, but rather working as a technician for a private company that contracted it worth at this Los Alamo facility. So he was there, obviously. I mean, that's like 100% confirmed.
They took cameras in. They interviewed people. He showed them his station, everything. Yeah, it was pretty wild. I don't know, man.
It's in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
This facility, right? They produce isotopes, neuron scattering, proton radiography, neutron weapons, neutron research facility.
Yeah. Dude, the drawings too of some of these spaceships that he worked on. It's unreal.
Probably unreal.
Yeah, I mean it is literally. So my big thing is like he puts Area 51 on the map. All of a sudden, once that story goes, I mean, it goes viral. People start flocking to Area 51. The whole thing, Alien Highway, it's all there. I mean, like, after his story comes out, all of a sudden you have this huge people. Now they actually expanded the fence line, right? You used to be able to get a lot closer to the base, but after he came out and told his story, they bought up a bunch of land, purchased more land, and they expanded all of the government-owned area around there so that way you couldn't get within range with, like, a camera or whatever and see some of maybe what they're doing, or just people couldn't get close. I mean, I can't list all. I can't articulate all the facts as well as those guys did on Joe Rogan and in the documentary. I mean, you got to watch Bob Lazar talk.
Have you watched the documentary?
Yes, I have. It's absolutely amazing. And here's the other thing, too. That guy in the documentary is trying to disprove him. And he says, like he said, I mean, all of his research leading up to this was just like he's asking him these questions about his education and all this kind of different stuff or whatever. Now, some of the scarier stuff is that, like, what Bob has hinted at is that there is a reason, that there is actually maybe another reason why he can't tell us the full story. Because he might have been involved in a second project that is even scarier. And that is like, and that was one I think he told Joe Rogan on the side, or he told, I'm not sure if he told George Knapp or someone, but he's told a few close friends about it, and it's one he'll never talk about like publicly because he's still afraid of actually getting in trouble with the government and being taken. He's like, they've left me alone to
so
this point.
Do you think that the government hides all of this stuff even from like FBI, CIA,
Get this. Robert Bigelow, okay, the big billionaire. Okay. Mind you, billionaire, okay, who owns Skinwalker Ranch. They're running experiments. They're bringing scientists out there. The government gets interested in it. The government says, hey, here's $22 million. We're going to start funding you. So privately, this billionaire is already looking into UFOs, has met with Bob Lazar, has met with other people and who are interested in this phenomenon and is like looking into it, may even have some of his own. It's, you know, all theory, rumored that Bigelow may have acquired some alien tech himself, being the billionaire that he is. And so it was just in 2018. And again, you have to go watch. Let me see if I can figure out the exact number of the episode, because these guys go over. Let's see, George Knapp. It is an interview that he does with him. It is 115, I think. I'm sorry. It's Joe Rogan Experience 1510. There we go. That's the one. 1510. He's speaking with Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp. So it's Joe Rogan Experience 1510. Go check that one out. But in that, he's talking about in 2018 or whatever, this admiral, high-ranking admiral, who's trying to get access to some of these projects, but they're private sector. And these guys theorize that a lot of these things are private sector, and they're sectored off because there's the government has so many leaks, and there is so much leaking, and there's so much turnover in government, and that there's so many different elected officials who want in, and it's too unstable, and they're worried that, so it's actually more likely that the government is not in the know, and that it's these other yeah. they're contracted with these big,
gotcha.
You know.
Because I watched Rogan's interview with Edward Snowden, in which Edward Snowden talked about all of these things that he looked for when he had access to just about freaking everything.
Yep.
And he said aliens don't exist, or at least
he won't find it because the top admiral. That's why I say go watch this episode. One of the top admirals has a private meeting. They call it the Wilson document, and he is, look it up, Matt, look it up.
No, I
and,
love it. I love
yeah,
it.
I love, I right,
love
it's great. Yeah. He's trying to gain access to this stuff, and he is shut down. And he's like, no, I should have, that's my expertise.
It doesn't come up.
I should be looking. Oh, dude, it's hard. on the show, it's hard for them to find. It's in one of their documentaries, but it's in Joe Rogan Experience 1510. You guys will find it for sure. So, but yeah, that was the big thing, is that multiple government officials have been denied access. Senator Harry Reid is actually, he's the one who started some of this funding, and they started kind of a government-run type of thing. And then, and also depending on who's in power, one of the things that Joe Rogan laughs at is that during the early 2000s, religious people, believe that some of the stuff that was going on, that they were looking into demonic stuff, and so at the Pentagon level, they thought it was demonic and they thought it was Antichrist stuff, so they said no, we're out, versus looking at it from a scientific perspective or whatever. They believed it was immoral for them to be looking into that kind of stuff, and you're like, wait a second. So they stopped everything, and then Senator Harry Reid's back in there trying to get more. Come on, guys. We got to check this out. Like, it's a legit threat. Then military commanders are coming in saying, no, our actual fighter pilots are coming across these. We have video evidence that these things are insanely fast. They can do all sorts of stuff that we can't explain. They have tech we don't have. And if they were hostile, they could literally screw us up. And the problem is some of the reactors and stuff that we have, we don't know how to use it. They explained it as if, like, you went back to the time of Christ and you took a motorcycle and you dropped it off there. They would figure out eventually that there's a key and they would turn it, and they might be able to ride it, like drive it around for a little bit, but they don't know how to put weapons on it. They don't know how to, like, you know, even recreate it, make the plastics, you know, figure out the fuel source. I mean, like that's sort of what it's like. We're dealing with that some type of tech that is so far beyond us that we have no idea. I'm starting to sound like a freaking crazy man over here, and this is like the third time this has happened on this show. I don't know that's why okay. I do this, but it's just I want to believe. Okay,
I do.
Want to believe.
I do. God. I do too. And I'm with you. I here's the thing. At the end of the day, I do believe aliens exist. I do believe they have probably been to Earth. I think Roswell is legit. And I definitely think there are agencies of government officials out there. The only thing I don't think is that we're engineering their tech. That's about the only thing I'm somewhat skeptical on.
If we found alien tech, do you think we would try to reverse engineer it?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, so you don't think we've ever found alien technology?
Well, I think Roswell is probably real. So here's the thing though, is I don't know, man. Let me think about that for a second.
The craziest thing is that he didn't say each spacecraft was the same. He said some rumored. By the way, I love this. I want you to picture something. Now, first of all, I'm not doing any of this to like poke fun at Bob Lazar because his life has been terrible. He said he's like, literally, why would I, it's not like I mean, like fame and money off of this. Right. I've donated everything, nothing.
The only thing I can legitimately think of though is when it comes to alien, if we had like legitimate alien technology, is I just think about how far along we are legitimately right now in space travel. So, I mean, it's getting to the point to where it's commercialized. I mean, stuff like that. But we are nowhere close to being able to we're nowhere close to be like, hey, let's travel to another galaxy. We're not even close. I mean, we haven't even put a person on Mars yet. I mean, we're probably 50 to 100 years away legitimately from being able to get to Mars at a faster rate that doesn't take like 5 years and have people. I mean, we're probably like, 50, I'd say we're like 50 to 100 years away from legitimate, like, hey, we're going to the moon on the regular and we're going to Mars, on the regular. So the only thing I can think of is alien technology would be so far advanced that I don't think we would. It's beyond our comprehension.
100%.
That's beyond our comprehension to where we wouldn't even have any clue at all to try and recreate it and try to use it in any way.
Like, that's why it's sitting over at S4 still.
I'm talking about the reactor he's talking about and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't think we're. I think it's way have too you, far beyond. For us to even comprehend.
Yeah, have you listened to him talk about it? Because what he says... What he says is, he says, like, the components on it, when he describes it, he says, there's no wires, there's nothing. I mean, he describes it as magic. He's like, literally, he goes, you're going to think I'm a... And he goes, I've been through numerous lie detector tests. I've passed every freaking single one of them. He was like, you pressed your hands on it, and it pushed back, and there were no metals. It's not a magnet. It is nothing like that. The fuel source inside is whatever is on the outside of it is creating its own gravity, and it is anti-gravity, and it is pushing back. And when he explains the theory of anti-gravity, he says propulsion for us going to Mars is shooting jet fuel out the back of we shoot something out the back, it pushes us forward. This is not how that works at all, not even close. And so when he describes, he says, it is so dumbfounded us that we don't even have the material science to understand. He goes, how can we understand their reactor when we don't even know how they actually built the exterior of their ship? Like, that's what he says. And Bigelow, by the way, has a sample of the ship and has, like, they've looked at it and they can't figure that out. The layers and the compact, I mean, like, they can't figure that out.
So there's a picture of it.
There's pictures of what is look for. Alien ship, Robert Bigelow, metal. I think it's out there. But dude, it is just to me, like he kept saying, he's like, so he said what they go in sort of like, cycles. So they bring in a batch of scientists, they try it, they have the ships, they bring in this group. If it doesn't, they document the progress that's made, they shelve it, they put the project on ice, they bring it back 10 years later or 5 years later. And every 5 years, they bring in a new batch of guys. And that's the theory. That's the theory. No one knows. I mean, Bob Lazar wishes he was still working on the project. He said, I messed up. He goes, I would love to have been there learning the tech. And he goes, I think we've made advancements just off of what we've learned with it, but I don't know that we know how to use it ourselves. If you have a motor, if you're living during, you know, the dark ages, and we drop a motorcycle off there to you, or we drop a car off, or a plane,
right?
What would you do? Do you know how to replicate that? No, they don't have the factories to make. They don't have any of that. They don't have any of the stuff that you use to create, to fabricate the plastic, to make the seats. Nothing. So you're talking about getting a finished product and trying to say, how did they do this? And we don't even have the element, the fuel element on this planet. That is just wild. And I absolutely sound batshit crazy right now. I sound like an absolute crazy man. And if you're watching the video version on Patreon, you'll see Gandalf in the background on Matt's computer just nodding his head left and right like I'm an absolute idiot. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm eventually going to apply for a job at MUFON. I swear to God. I'm going to be a field investigator, and I'm going to get the freaking radio, and when they call, I'm going out. And years ago, I almost took it. I was trying to get the hat. I was trying to get the MUFON hat because that's what you can't get a MUFON hat unless you get it on eBay or unless you pass that field investigator's test, which I'm going to try now.
Yeah. See, here's the thing about Roswell, because I just clicked on it and pulled up pictures on Roswell. The 100% reason I think Roswell is real is because it happens at the perfect time for it to be real enough, get leaked, mm-hmm. right? Because it's like I'm sure, you know, obviously if they've been here, if aliens have come and visited, whatever, at times before that, you know, it's not like the news or anything would be able to publish it and, you know, you just be, well, that guy's batshit crazy, you know, whatever. But then it's like the perfect time for it's like, hey, like you take it to the news, it gets printed, it gets circulated far before, like now, if you tried to do it, it could be suppressed. It could be, you know, eliminated, the NSA and see, I mean, all that stuff, to immediately squash and squander it. Right. So, but then all like social media doesn't exist and all this stuff. So it could just get out of control, which it did. And that's why I find it, you know, somewhat more believable. Right. I mean, think about it for Roswell to be like a hoax. You know what I mean? For Roswell to be a hoax, think about how elaborate that would be in 1947.
Yeah, yeah.
And what 100%. Would be the purpose? Like, you just got out of World War II. There's zero. Like, I mean, people are like getting back to like living everyday lives. What would be the purpose of doing any of this stuff? And then the crazy thing is, it's like, you're talking about aliens, like mm-hmm. in 1947. That doesn't make any sense. Like, if anything, you'd be talking, you know, like then they describe it as weather balloons, not like, oh, it was, you know, nobody says, oh, it's Russian tech. It's like, which is what you'd imagine, right? Or German, mm-hmm. like leftover Nazi stuff. I mean, that's the thing about Roswell. Roswell is so bizarre, given just the year in which it happens, like fresh out of World War II, like. Before the Cold War is like kicking off, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like in its infancy. And so it's just, it's bizarre.
So,
it's weird.
I mean, from the time of Roswell until now, again, technology was already on that upward trend or whatever, but the curve just kept going higher and higher. I mean, ever since that, it makes you think they did actually get something and started to figure out like maybe some ways to do things a little bit better. I mean, who freaking knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like it is.
I don't know. So you think it's the ship from Roswell that they have possibly?
I think they do. I think they actually absolutely have one of the Roswell ships, like or they have the Roswell ship because he claims there are eight spaceships, Matt, in hangars. Yeah, I think it's eight or nine. And he walked by all of them. He had one, like that. He was with his. Oh my God! The best part of all this, if you think Bob Lazar is a crazy man, which a lot of people do. By the way, whoever wrote this wiki page. They leave out a lot of stuff. They leave out a lot of stuff. It is not an authentic, snapshot of who he is. And all it is literally all I see are cons. All I see are negatives on that wiki page. They don't talk about
this is even the other thing. Real quick about that. Go look at the Roswell alien. right? Like the actual picture of one.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm talking about? Where it's got like a leg and it's hurt and stuff like that.
Yeah, Roswell alien. Why do I feel like I'm gonna get in trouble for searching all this on my computer?
You're about
to. Are
we
good? Are we like, okay. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen this one.
I mean, in 1947, think about like the makeup, prosthetics, to fabricate that.
No, and people have come forward. I mean, there's all sorts of stories about that. The pilots that flew the bodies, they transferred them to actually...
Plastic wasn't even, like, something that was, like, used all the time. Like, it was, like, a new thing, becoming a new thing.
Right. Yeah, 100%, 100%, man. I know. So, I don't know. I think... Because let me... there's so many things here. Let me just read one more thing here. This one's going to make you laugh. So, Lazar additionally claimed that after in joining the program... He read briefing documents describing a historical involvement of Earth for the past thousands of years with extraterrestrials being described as gray aliens from a planet orbiting the twin binary star system Zeta Reticuli or Zeta Reticula. Mm-hmm. It's a star system. It is binary. Whether he looked that up before or not, he says that. They go look it up and truly it is a binary star system. Did he know that before he said that? Did he do his own research and just make that up? Or was that in the briefing? Now, what he says is he read that. He passed the lie detector test and said that he read that and it was in his hands a document that was a government briefing on where this device came from. They said it came from that star system. He believes that they were giving them information so that way when he repeated that, they could pinpoint Bob told him. Because we told all the other eight groups, we told them it came from a different system. And so whichever group leaked the system and said the name, we would be able to pinpoint that's the group. There's somebody in that group who is leaking stuff to the press. It is fascinating. He said the way it was compartmentalized is fascinating. Now, the best part to me, and I had to laugh. I was laughing with our buddy Lane. I was just like, if you believed that Bob Lazar was crazy, right? I want you to think about this. Go with the image in your mind that he's an absolute madman. And then listen to him talk about his lab partner, Barry. The whole time I'm sitting there going, who the hell is Barry? And he talks about like Barry and I, you know, we were sitting there. We were working on the reactor. Barry took me over to, I mean, suppose the story goes, Barry's lab partner was killed at the lab. Was actually like an experiment gone wrong that they actually tried to cut into with the plasma cutter into the reactor and to one of the devices and it blew him up. He's dead. Barry's lab partner is dead. No one knows who Barry's lab partner is. Rest in peace. I'll drink one for him now. But I thought to myself, like, who is Barry? And I made a joke with my buddy Lane. This is totally not true. But I was watching the documentary and I'm like texting him. I was like, dude, I was like, Bob Lazar's mom just started in reference to Bob started to say Bear, I mean Bob, and I was like, is Barry actually Bob? Like, is Bob talking to himself? Like, did Bob have an imaginary friend named Barry and that was his lab partner? I mean, what the hell? It's pretty crazy. But no, I actually totally believe the guy. I 100% believe him. And looking at what he's gone through, they brought the hypnosis on the guy, what do you call those guys, the guy who puts you into whatever,
hypnotist.
They brought him on. So one of the things is, like, he claims to have gone to Caltech, and his buddy, he has multiple friends who said, we dropped Bob off on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Caltech. Now, either it was the most elaborate, like, he was either going in there hooking up, which the prostitute ring would make you think maybe he was, but that was, you know, 12, 15 years later. He's going to Caltech, you know, and They're basically saying, why are we dropping Bob off at Caltech every single day if he wasn't actually getting a degree there? And then other people were saying, like, we sat in class, like, either Bob was getting a free education or we don't know what, you know? So, and then supposedly he went to MIT and listened to the guy talk. Actually listen to him talk. He can talk circles around you. They have
what's
a clip.
What's the name of the documentary?
The documentary, which you have to go watch, is Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. Area 51 wasn't well known. It's on Netflix. Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucers. I'm telling you, please send us a message on this. I want to know what people think. I want you to go watch it, and I want you to come back a believer. If you're not a believer, at least give the documentary and maybe the Joe Rogan episode. Go the Joe Rogan episode, I think, if you watch the whole thing in fullness, even Joe says to him, but Bob, where did you go to school? And he starts to kind of talk through that, and he actually gets a little pissed. He was just like, you know, you've got investigative reporters going, checking these things out. He gets pissed. I mean, because he's sort of like, do you think I want to sit here and not have documents to prove to you who I am? Like he's like, and it's just my past is just erased. He's like, that is why I don't talk about this stuff. That's why I went away. He's like, no one ever sits, I mean, in his seat and thinks about like what it's like to have gone through that, to have lost your, you know, like the wife, the whole thing. And he's just like, that you're missing the bigger point here is that I'm telling you, I worked on this tech. I passed every single test ever. I talk about 115. I talk about these various things. He was like, that hole in my past or whatever, the gap. Other witnesses have said he's gone there. You've got all these different people who've gone and checked him out. There's so much to the story. It's fascinating. So blown my mind. So that's where I'm at. That's where Ez.
Okay. All right. Well, woo! Hey, I need to watch the documentary. I watched the episode. Okay. I will watch the documentary and we will circle back. All right, okay. Ez, moving on. Steve Bannon, White House, you know, senior staff, former White House senior staff, has been arrested on fraud charges related to building the wall. Let me just pull something up here because I just find this fascinating here.
First of all,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's a really good thing we didn't go try to build the wall in front of Trump Tower. We were going to go up there and lay brick.
We were joking. We were joking about going up. We were, Ez and I were joking about going to Washington, D.C. and renting a backhoe and just being like, yeah, we're here to drain the swamp.
Right. Where do we start? Where's the swamp?
All right. Right. So Steve Bannon has been arrested. He was a top advisor of Trump's campaign. Literally everybody who was involved in Trump's campaign has been arrested, with the exception of Kellyanne Conway, who is now leaving. She's like, I'm out. Yeah. So what the heck is going on?
What's going on, dude?
Roger Stone, right? He's Trump's lifelong friend. He was convicted of lying under oath to lawmakers about Russian interference in the 2016 election. Paul Manafort, who was his campaign advisor, was found guilty of tax fraud and bank fraud. Michael Cohen, serving a 3-year apprentice sentence at home due to the coronavirus pandemic.
Seriously,
I guess we just let freaking prisoners out,
and they're about to arrest me because I said I have element 115, and I actually don't.
In 2018, he pled to crimes including orchestrating hush money payments before the 2016 election to women who had sexual encounters with Trump. He's literally went to prison for that, right? And he's actually coming out right now and saying all this stuff about how Trump's a terrible person and all of this stuff.
Says he knows where the bodies are buried.
Yeah, that's what he said. Michael Flynn pled guilty to lying to the FBI about interactions with Russian ambassadors in the weeks before Trump took office. Rick Gates pled guilty in a conspiracy in the United States and lying to investigators. George Nader to 10 years in prison for possessing child pornography and bringing a boy to the U.S. And George Papadopoulos, a former Trump campaign advisor, was sentenced in September 2018 to 14 days in prison. 14 days? What's the point of going to prison for 14 days? Just go to jail. For lying to the FBI about contacts with Russian officials. I mean, my God, man. People flipped out about Hillary Clinton and Benghazi. And it's like, geez, man, this stuff just seems just as bad.
Well, I mean, hey, man.
It's all corrupt.
Let me tell you.
They're all at the top. They're all corrupt. And they're lying.
How dare you?
To keep Bob Lazar.
How dare you?
Story uncredited.
Hey, I'll tell you who's fine. You know, hey, Trump's good. That ain't Trump's fault. Matter of fact,
true.
That's the deep state. That's what we've been talking about this whole damn episode.
Somebody needs to drain the swamp. Somebody needs to get in there and start the draining.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Yeah, that is wild. It is wild. As you say, the joke is literally, you know, is it the White House or is it the...
Or the big house.
Right? I mean, what's going on?
I mean, geez, I mean, there's just, they're all of them. They're all just corrupt and just all getting arrested.
Here's a question, though. Is it that, is there, I mean, here's the thing, right? There's way more corruption going on in politics in Washington, D.C. and stuff than we realize. Is it just that if you haven't been in it for a while, you don't know how to get away with it? Or maybe you just thought you were above it and you didn't care, or you really bent the rules because that's how they play in the corporate world or something? Like who knows? Maybe he's just not as adverse in the, I don't know. Some of those guys, though, are like politicians, you know, and they've been around. They should know. But it's crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Maybe, crazy. You know, I mean, I don't know. Who's running his new campaign?
You know what's funny is I just said that's crazy, and people are going, you're the asshole who was just talking about Bob Lazar. You piece of crap.
Okay. All right. Hey, all right. Well, let's move on from that. As if there's one thing I've been excited for this past weekend, we've been talking about this. So over on our Star Wars podcast, Hyperspace Hangout, we talked about Star Wars Celebration canceled due to coronavirus. A lot of things have been canceled due to coronavirus. Including, you know, Comic-Con and all that kind of stuff. But DC had their big event in which they released a bunch of trailers. The two that excited me the most is the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League and the Robert Pattinson Batman movie. Let's start with the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. So for anybody who doesn't know what this is, Zack Snyder was the original director for the movie that came out a couple of years, Justice League, right? The follow-up to Batman and Superman. And something happened. I think his son committed suicide. Was that what it was? It was like something
It
pretty,
was something like that, yeah.
It was pretty... something. It wasn't like, it was something pretty heavy. And he steps out halfway through the movie, and DC brings in Joss Whedon, who directed the Avengers, first Avengers movie, you know, and he also directed like Firefly, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's a good director. He's directed a lot of things. And they changed the tone of the movie a lot. It is way less dark. I think because they were scared of criticism from Batman vs. Superman, people are like, this is too dark. But you know what? DC movies have proven with the Joker and the Dark Knight that DC movies should be darker and more realistic and more adult. And that just works better for them, right? I mean,
yeah,
good God. The Dark Knight, I mean, like, I remember watching that in theaters and the scene where Batman is punching the Joker, you know, Heath Ledger's Joker, and he's like, you know, where are they? And I'm just like, there's like a little kid sitting next to me. I'm like, wow, this is not a kid's movie.
Right. It's not a kid's
movie. This was not our Batman growing up.
Right, right, exactly.
But actually, I went back and watched that, and I was like, especially Batman Returns, like, if you were a little kid, I mean, they're talking about, you know, there's a lot of language, right, in referring to Catwoman. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some pussy cats. I'll just say that, right? Yeah. There's a lot of innuendos, okay? Right.
Different time. So, yep. Yeah.
Different time. So then you go to Batman Forever, Batman and Robin. They're a little bit lighter. Then we go back to Dark Knight. It gets way darker. So anyway, this movie, the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League, and all of the trailers and everything, it is like a completely different movie. I mean, I don't even know how much of it we're gonna watch when we finally see this and we're like, oh, that's the same.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. Have you watched the trailer?
I'm watching it right now.
I mean, it's totally different. I mean, a totally different movie.
Yeah,
in the original version, Cyborg's dad like lives. In this version, he dies.
Looks like he dies. Yeah.
Totally. We get to see black suit Superman.
And he's doing some crazy stuff with his Superman.
And
I don't know what's going on.
Even the way. So there's some of the scenes that are the same, but they're animated differently, right? Like they're just, you know, they're darker as opposed to lighter. And it's at a different angle. It's at a different aspect ratio and stuff like that. So it just changes the whole movie. So it's just crazy to think, like, you know, when we talked about like Rise of Skywalker and like what was the original cut there and some of these other movies. And it's like, how much stuff, honest to God, gets cut And that just doesn't make it into the final movie. Because this is like, I mean, they said that this is going to be released in 4 episodes.
Yeah.
So it's like, it might be a 4-hour movie. The original movie was like 2.
Yeah.
It's like, how much did this cost to make? I mean, how much?
Are they going to be half an hour increments or something? Or are they going to be?
No, it's going to be 4. So 4. It's a 4-hour movie. So 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour.
How do you know it's 4 hours, though?
Because they said it's going to be 4 episodes, an hour each.
But what if the episodes are shorter?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
If it's 4 1-hour episodes.
Is that what they said? They said it was 4 1-hour episodes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were putting a time on the episode. You're
saying
it's an hour.
Yeah, it's 4 1-hour episodes.
That's wild. That's insane.
That's insane. Yeah.
That's double the movie we had.
So that's why. That's the thing. That's why. Like Jason Momoa, Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Ezra Miller. They have all, who plays the Flash and stuff like that. They have all been, Henry Cavill even too, have been like saying we want the Snyder cut because it's totally different, and that's what it seems like. It seems like it is. And now, I don't know the guy's name, but the guy who played Cyborg. Has been the most vocal about it, and he said there was like abuse on set and like verbal abuse and all this stuff, and like he does not like Joss Whedon at all, and they had to do reshoots. Remember Henry Cavill's face, because he had this weird contract with Mission Impossible in which he couldn't shave his mustache, so they like CG his face. Like none of that's in there because it was all done beforehand, and so it seems like Zack Snyder was like mostly done, and then they wanted to do reshoots, and they just reshot like half of the movie and like slam it together. And
no way.
Yeah, dude.
See, that makes me feel better because I thought it was Zack Snyder was halfway through. Something happened.
Oh, no.
He didn't get through all of his shots. If he got all of his shots and he got what he wanted, then he can cut his own movie. Absolutely. Yeah.
So remember when we watched the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2?
Yeah.
And it's like completely different.
Yes. Yep.
And they were like, what the – sometimes I think that happens, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm all for it. I think this is cool. And actually, this seems to be way more dramatic than any Richard Donner cut. This seems to be –
This
like,
is way – like, yeah.
Because there were – you know, it was really just the ending of the Donner cut that was
it's like,
different.
Yeah.
But
it's like the second half of it is different, right?
Yeah, but this seems like –
This seems like the whole freaking – Now, here's the crazy thing is what happens – What do you do if this is more successful?
Oh, well, I mean, I think people have got I don't understand this, right? So Lord of the Rings showed us that the extended edition is what people want, man. Like that is
right.
I get that they're worried about the theater, the ticket sales, the whole thing or whatever. I don't know, divide stuff into two. People want more. Like and they want you to tell the full story and really take us through the roller coaster. So
right. The thing is, so in Batman vs. Superman, we got the extended version. So there's a difference, I think, between an extended version and a version that is totally different.
Yeah.
Where it drastically changes the outcome of the story.
Oh, yeah. So what do you mean if this is different?
I think it drastically changes the story. So now it's like, hold on.
Yeah. I would just say this. So. Before you say that, this is two different directors' versions. Sometimes you have one director and they didn't bring in anybody else, and it was just they have their cut,
which is usually just longer.
Yeah, exactly. And so, there's more explanation. Things feel better. Pacing's good. And then you have the studio cut. Has sort of the last sort of like this is what we want.
Yeah, this is this. Well, this was the original director, so it's the original vision.
Right.
So I mean, this is like uncharted territory. But I guess the question is, what happens is if this thing blows up and everyone's like, "This is amazing. This is the cut that we wanted. This is how we think the story should go." Does it change? Like, so if you want to watch it, start to finish. I mean, what is Warner Brothers going to say? Is like, well, I mean, do you just retcon like an entire theatrical movie? I mean, it's because then it's like, hey, we've opened the door and we've said, you know what? Hey, Disney, how about you go remake episodes 7 and 8? Yeah, our episodes 8. How about you just go remake episodes 8 and 9? It'll be fine. We're fine with it. I mean, Hey, yeah. Game of Thrones. You know what? Let's just do a redo. Let's just do a redo on season 8. You know what? And we'll be fine. I mean, does it open the door for that? I mean, what is like? Because I don't think this has ever happened.
No, and that's the unique thing is I don't know enough about what happened to Zack Snyder and hit and why there was a shift. Because my thing is if he's still around,
I think he had to step out.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think if he's still around to cut his own version, you still could have had the Zack Snyder cut if he would have just finished through. You still even could have had studio interference, and then I call it interference. That's a bad word for it. You know, not as harmonious. Whatever their own adaptation, they go in, tamper with things, and say, "Hey, we want to switch it up." So you still could have had two versions.
It was the death of his daughter. They said there was like a bunch of arguing over the script. And so his daughter took over. Joss Whedon steps in, takes over. Joss Whedon's uncredited.
So his daughter stepped in. What does that mean?
Snyder stepped down after the death of his daughter.
Okay. Got it. But there's arguing over the script before.
There was arguing the script before, stuff like that. Joss Whedon oversaw reshoots and other changes that added a brighter tone and more humor to the and cut the runtime down to 120 minutes in accordance with the mandate from Warner Brothers, because they were disappointed. Disappointed with some of the criticism towards Batman versus Superman. Fans have been pushing hard and hard and hard for the Snyder cut. And Warner Brothers said it was unlikely, but they announced earlier this year because with HBO Max coming out, HBO Max, that they will do it. The restoration is going to cost $20 to $30 million.
Right. So don't you have to give the studio some credit for that too, though?
100%. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Hey, ultimately, AT&T is the big parent company that owns Warner Brothers, HBO, all that stuff. Yeah,
right. I mean, are they different decision makers at that company that said, "Hey, we're not going to go with that darker tone. We're going to go with this lighter tone." And now they're coming back saying, "Well, let's go ahead and show you that darker tone, and see if you like it."
But
like,
I mean,
is it different people, or do they have a change of heart? What's up? You know.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I think they've just been listening to their fans because, I mean, the fans have been pushing for it. Zack Snyder's been pushing for it. The actors themselves were pushing for it. Jason Momoa with Aquaman, Khal Drogo, right? Yeah. One of them being the strongest. I mean, you can see him on Twitter throughout the past couple of years being like, if only you guys saw what we filmed in the Zack Snyder version. Because there have been leaked pictures of Henry Cavill as wearing the black Superman suit, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, where is that? What happened? And it all just ended up getting cut. And so it's like it's major, major differences. Darkseid is in this movie.
Yeah.
And the Martian Manhunter is in this movie. And it's like, whoa, like this was supposed to be the movie to this was supposed to be the movie to set off everything. And instead, it almost felt like they took a big step back.
It did. It really did.
After this, because it was like it seemed like it kind of flopped and got hit hard. Yep. And so then we found ourselves in a position unlike Marvel where we're going full street. Because after this, I mean, the DC Cinematic Universe, right, is kind of a mess. So like what happened after this? I think it was Aquaman, which was not very good to be entirely honest. Shazam, which was pretty cool. And then Birds of Prey, which I haven't watched yet, but I mean, I do remember people saying it looks good. But next upcoming we have, so there are two movies, legit, which is Wonder Woman 1984. Which seems awesome. That looks amazing. The Suicide Squad, and now we're gonna have the Batman movie, which is a prequel. Yep. Robert Pattinson's Batman, which is a kind of a prequel. There's the Flashpoint movie, Ezra Miller's Flash, which actually, this is what I love about DC is they just they're tying it all together. So the Flashpoint thing, right? So you're kind of a little more familiar with this because I think honest to God, actually a little more about the Flash than I do. The Flash like kind of he can run through time and he's sets up all these dimensions. And so they actually tied it all together with their big CW Arrowverse thing. Do you remember this a couple months ago where they had like, hey,
Tom Welling.
They have brought in Smallville's Earth. They brought in they actually used the old Batman, like the Adam West Batman, his Robin sees, like there's like some event going on. And Ezra Miller shows up and talks to the TV Flash, which is crazy. And that's awesome. All the big rumors and some confirmation is that Ben Affleck is returning as Batman, which we didn't think he was going to, because he was supposed to be Batman in the Robert Pattinson movie. But now it's just a prequel. So that's kind of cool. Michael Keaton
will show up
as Batman in the Flash movie. Yeah. Let's go, man.
Dude, I think there's other hidden gems there too, because that's the beauty of it. You can bring back these people from, just depending on which version of Earth you go to, the Speed Force can take you. I mean, whatever. I mean, you can do a lot. So Flashpoint is huge. That is a way to bring everything together to do something really, really, really cool that you can't necessarily do in Marvel. It is the trump card that DC has, and they need to play it. So I'm glad they are. Right. I am so glad they are.
And it's because the one thing I do love about DC, and you guys are probably like, Marvel's just so much better. Marvel has established better. Marvel has established a better cinematic universe. I will give them that. But when it comes to simply making one-off movies, DC is better. They've won Oscars. Show me the Oscars, Marvel. Where are they at? Joaquin Phoenix, Heath Ledger. Boom. Let's go. I think Superman. Didn't Superman, one of the old Superman movies, win an Oscar for something? Like Best Score or something like that?
Yeah, but it wasn't
it. Yeah. Yeah. And Suicide Squad. Yeah, yeah. Suicide Squad won an Oscar. Yeah, so.
Older stuff.
I mean, The Dark Knight. I mean, 1989, Batman. Come on, man.
I know.
Even The Dark Knight Return, even The Dark Knight Rises, I went back and watched. I'm like, this is just a good movie.
It's good.
So, yeah. So it's not like they don't make, you know, good movies. So
no,
and Sleeper, Superman Returns. Ez and I have talked about it before. I think it's an underrated movie. All right, let's talk about Robert Pattinson as Batman. Did you watch the trailer?
I did watch it. I did, and it is a. I thought he looked great, and I thought it looked cool. This seems like there's gonna be more villains, right? Possibly. Are there a few? Could I not tell? Like, was it?
Yeah.
Riddler
so far. There's Riddler, Penguin, and Catwoman that you see in the trailer, and probably Victor Zsasz.
Okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. I mean, it just seemed, it also had that darker feel, didn't it? I mean, it felt darker.
Right.
Like,
yes.
It felt like his origin story, but rehashed a little bit, and you know, a darker version of it, like a much darker version of it. Mm-hmm. I that's what I got. I got like it seemed like
they said that the bat on his chest is made from the gun that killed his parents.
Yeah, like what?
Wow. I like his Batmobile in that it's older, looks more like a muscle car, feels like a throwback in a way, less like what we've had, and more kind of actually like a weird kind of cool throwback to the like Michael or Adam West Batman, right? You know, the classic car, right, with like the red and stuff like that. I think he's gonna be the thing about Robert Pattinson is I think he'll be a great Bruce Wayne, right? I think he'll I know that going out of the gate, right? Now Christian Bale, I mean, before I saw him really as Batman, I was like, oh, this guy's probably going to be a good Bruce Wayne, maybe not a great Batman. Because I think some people were better at them. I think, you know, like Val Kilmer, I thought was a better Batman than a Bruce Wayne. George Clooney, I thought was a better Bruce Wayne than a Batman. I like Ben Affleck as both, although we don't really get a lot. I mean, his Bruce Wayne is, it's definitely more that Justice League Bruce Wayne, where we haven't really gotten him like on his own, like a full movie of him having to do actual Bruce Wayne things. It's more just him, he's Batman whether he has the suit on or off. But I mean it's Ben Affleck. I trust him to be a really good, you know, Bruce Wayne. So I think that'll be good. But that's the thing I know, but I know Robert Pattinson would be a good Bruce Wayne. And the thing about him is, you know, I think you immediately think of Twilight, right? But like in Twilight, he's playing a very specific character who's like weird and shy and doesn't talk, you know, I mean, not really weird and shy, but he's weird, right? The way he kind of talks is very specific. The way he acts is very specific. It's not like, oh God, he was awful in that cheesy, you know,
right,
teenage romance thing. And guys can evolve. I mean, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio's like, you know, one of the best actors in the world. But if all you were like, oh God, he's just that guy from Titanic, well, then you'd be missing out on years of great movies.
Exactly. I think he's great, and I didn't hear him talk in this, actually. He's just like one line.
I think maybe one. Vengeance. Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So I mean, dude, this is first of all, it starts off extremely dark. The sound of the duct tape being pulled out, just that sound, like right up in the mic. I mean, and then you look at this guy's face is duct tape, and the freaking Riddler's got riddles all over the place. And what's, you know, you think of the Riddler's backstory and what's going on there, and you know, stop telling lies, the whole thing. Looks dark, and I think he's fine. I think even when you look at his mannerisms, he doesn't look anything at all like that serious Edward Cullen face at all. Like I looked at him, I was like, nope, he's pulling off he's digging deep, reaching a different level there. So I felt good about that. I like it. I think at first you hear about it and you're like, oh really, are you serious? And then go watch the freaking trailer, because I mean, acting skills.
I'll say is this: the last Batman movie they did, right, or Batman related movie. I mean, Harley, you know, Birds of Prey, kinda, because it's Harley Quinn. But I mean, I don't know, dude. I watched The Joker, and that was one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. I mean,
here's the thing:
it was heavy. That's like Logan level heavy. I mean, you're talking about like superhero movies. It's like those two movies to me, in terms of superheroes, are on like they're just on a different level.
Yes.
Because they're like so drama heavy.
And you know what's funny about that? Here's something interesting. I could be wrong. But doesn't in that Joker, and I know that's kind of outside of what we're talking about here, but that's an older Joker. Right. And isn't that like not older Joker, but like when he goes to Wayne Manor and stuff, you know what I mean? Like,
right. He runs into Bruce Wayne.
Bruce is like, you know, is just a little guy, you know? Right. So I thought about that in regards to, well, this is a grown up. This is a slightly older Bruce. Are we too far off to see?
Well, so theoretically, I guess his Joker would be
that's supposed to be
right.
Joker's origin story. Now we're getting Batman's origin story. I'm just wondering if they would ever, because it was so popular.
I think it's its own thing, because
I think so
if
too.
If Robert Pattinson's Batman is the same Batman as Ben Affleck, then that would make his Joker the guy from Suicide Squad, who's the guy, lead singer, 30 Seconds to Mars. I'm blanking on his name right now.
That's how many years? I mean, because Ben Affleck's playing a younger version, and it's weird, but it could
work. See, because there's a lot of theories about the Joker movie. One of the theories is that he inspires the person who becomes Batman's Joker. Because some people, there are theories that his character, first of all, makes the whole thing up in his head.
Yes,
the whole thing up.
It's not even
there's that theory. There's the theory that he dies. There are theories that he is dead the whole time. There are theories like there's a lot of theories about that movie. But I think a big one is that he is not the Joker that we think of. He is somebody who starts the movement that out of that movement creates, you know, the Joker that we know.
Yeah, I also kind of wondered if you could have multiple somebody who just steps in and says I'm Joker, but that
exactly was, takes over like the mantle.
Of the Joker, which would be wild. First of all, if they have any, like even just an inkling or a trace of the darkness or the cleverness of that Joker film and this Batman film,
it is
going to be off the freaking chain, dude. I just like it's going to be nuts, absolutely nuts. I hope it is. I really hope it is. So
it's insane. All right, Ez. Well, I might skip one thing here. Save it for the Patreon episode, and that'll be college football. So let's talk keto.
Yeah.
We always finish with food here. And so here's the thing. So I got on keto, and I was like, wow, I lost some weight, and I kept telling Ez about it and kept telling Ez about it. And then I got off of it and didn't lose weight. And then Ez got on it and has been a loyal, true, good guy on it. And now he's got me back on it, and I'm feeling weight and losing, feeling great and losing weight.
I'm telling you, dude, here's the thing. I don't care what people say. I know some people say, well, it's only supposed to be used for X, Y, and Z or whatever. I don't give a crap, okay? Because my granddad's 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 grandma used to trap a bunch of rabbits and squirrels, all right? And also used to hunt, you know, deer and various things. Those are low in carbs. And that's all they ate. That and some, you got some broth, some stew, whatever. No, man, I actually love it. I think it's great. I'm actually sitting here drinking a Corona Hard Seltzer because it is zero carb. I mean, I freaking love it. So I feel better. I have good energy. You know, definitely did lose some weight. Feel good. Been hitting the gym more, which is because I got the energy. So I got that energy, and I feel good. Now, the 2 weeks leading into school, my God, at one point over the summer, I was just like spot. I was in ketosis like a freaking madman. 2 weeks leading up to school, the villain came back. The guy who says, hey, let's reward ourselves. We've been doing a good job. We've been doing a great job. Let's just reward. So like that guy comes back once in a while, and I got to tell that guy to hit the highway, because it's not worth it. You know, having a whole pizza by yourself. I mean, it's great in the moment, but God, it just ruined me for a second.
Yeah. I thought the hardest thing would be, so you have to stay. So yeah, there's a couple different ways to look at it. Net carbs, right, which is your standard carb versus fiber. I'm just trying to go 25 carbs, whether there's fiber or not.
Yeah.
The hardest part for me is milk, because milk is, like, I consider it my staple food. It's my number one jam. So I have started actually drinking coffee and using heavy cream, which has no carbs. In my coffee, and that has been my milk kind of substitute. So that was the hardest part. Or I use half and half. So that for me has been the biggest thing. I've stopped doing protein shakes, just because I do not do a protein shake with water. I've tried it with almond milk. I just don't like it as much. I could do it with heavy cream. Good God. That'd be
real. Yeah.
But I'm getting so much protein now because I'm eating pretty much only meat. I mean, meat, cheese, you know, like spinach, berries. They say nuts, but nuts are kind of high in carbs. And so it's like, I don't like to waste my carbs. Right. You know, I'm careful about that. So the milk it was by far, if I could add one thing back in and just like be fine, it would just be drinking milk. But it's like one glass of milk is like 12 to 18 carbs. So it's like, well, that's like all my carbs for the day. So, you know, it's not worth it. Cause I need those carbs for cheese and, you know, some sauce maybe.
Right. So when I first started, I'll just say this, like I was getting down to like, you know, 50, 40 carbs or whatever. And it's amazing. Try to get under 50. Anybody out there, just do it. You know, count one day. Just see how many carbs you actually have in a day. You'll be amazed. Hundreds. Most people have, well, okay, people who are, you know, like
on
fast food. I think people have, you know, tons of carbs in their diet.
No, I think the majority of people who probably are closer to not even a 30%. I think the majority of people probably carbs and fats are outweigh protein. I'd say people are getting easily 200 carbs a day.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. So I remember
easily, even if you're doing something healthy, sorry, that's like fruits and vegetables, your carbs are going to be crazy high.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the thing. So my big lifestyle change was, let's get rid of some of those unnecessary things that are just super processed, super whatever. Try to cut all the way down, get in ketosis, get some energy back, lose some weight. And then as I do, if I splurge on carbs, it is on fruit. You know, it is on fruit, which has a lot of carbs. But that's a good natural, all natural food. It's good. And so that's sort of where I've gone to when I want those carbs. Now, to be honest with you, the last 3 days. I've had a birthday party. We had a party at freaking work because we were getting rid. 2 days in a row, I've had double the carbs, and I'm feeling bloated as a mother right now. But whatever. Okay. It is what it is. But those 2 days, though, I mean, like, so they haven't hit me as hard as they used to. When I first started, dude, if I only went 3 days under 20 carbs, and then I decided to have like a cheat day where I'm at 40 or 50, I just negated. I mean, you just need a lot of time under that 25, and then your body won't kick you out right away. All of a sudden, you realize like, well, shoot, I had one bad day, and I'm doing fine. You just have to get right back on it the next day and build those habits over time. It's the same thing with anything, you know, workout, study habits, whatever it may be. Right. Consistency, discipline is where it's at. And also, like, so I've tried, you know, we've tried other things. Like, I have a really bad, people don't know this about me, but I have a really bad freaking knee, really bad knee. I've had like tons of surgeries, and I'm like, I had a bone disease growing up. It's wild. So I really jacked myself up. Don't know when it was, but like just really messed up my right leg and didn't work out as much. All of a sudden, you know, physical activity goes down, but my eating habits, because that's a habit, hadn't changed. You know, and I, yeah. but my physical habits and stuff did because I had an injury, and then didn't rehab it right. Still have issues with it. Have rehabbed it, but finally found something that actually works, and I feel really good. Has just been good energy and stuff. We thought about doing a series at one point where we just hold up a piece, you know, just a food item. Matt came up with this, and he asked the question. He said,
"Keto?
Is it keto?" And most of the time, the answer is no. It's not. Not keto friendly, unless it's a big old slab of meat or something like that. But I actually probably do have too much protein. To be honest with you, I don't think I do a true keto diet. I think
because you need to be. You do need to be. It's like you really want to be like 60 to 70% fats. Now that people are like, oh god, that's bad for you. But not really. Actually, I mean, it seems like most diets honestly are getting rid of one of the three blocks. Yeah. I mean, like a lot of people do, a lot of people that do high carb and medium protein, that's why they start going no fat, you know, or low fat milk, low fat this, low fat that, and then they end up losing weight. And so it seems to me like, well, really, if you just pull out one of those three, because a lot of people do vegan, right? And yeah. if you're just doing vegan, the question is, how do you get protein? Now, there definitely are things about protein. Nuts obviously have protein.
Yeah. Beans and
stuff like stuff like quinoa, right, has protein, but it's you're not going to be nearly as high in protein as if you're eating meat, you know, and even grains, dairy, you're going to get protein. But if you're going vegan, you're cutting out dairy, you know, as well, because it's animal product. So, and I know there's tons of different ways of vegan and vegetarian and all that stuff. So, they're not all the same, but just as an example, I'll say that. So. To me, that seems kind of like the thing is, hey, you cut it once. Anyway, I don't know. I'm losing weight on keto, and I'm going to keep it rocking, and hopefully I lose another 30 pounds. So.
Oh, yeah, dude, you will. I mean, that's the thing. To me, I just feel like I don't have to think about it as much because I started just like, you know, I eat the foods that I like. I'm not really suffering right over here. I'm having pork chops, and, you know, I'm even throwing some broccoli and Brussels sprouts in, and, you know, it's just controlling that vegetable, getting your nutrients there. It's a lot of meat and some of those veggies that are less in carbs.
Asparagus is
yeah.
Good. Spinach.
Yeah, bacon and asparagus. Whoa, that's a good one. Love that meal.
Yeah. Asparagus and spinach are what I get. Those are kind of my veggies, that my greens that I'm getting. You know, like onions, mushrooms, stuff like that. Berries are your best friend, strawberries, blueberries. Mm-hmm. I make them in a shake. So I mean I did have like a protein shake the other day, just one scoop instead of like three like I normally do. Because I don't want my protein to be too high. You do want your fats to be kind of high. So avocados are like really good, but you do got to watch because they are carbs. They are have fiber, so if you want to go more into that net territory. And there's a lot more keto stuff out there, right? There's like keto bread.
There's tons. Yeah.
That we get that's like one slice is 12 carbs, also 12 grams of fiber. So it's, you know, net carbs, stuff like that. So.
Yeah. And again, some people don't need it at all. Some people it's moderation. It is really whatever works for you and whatever is like going to make you happy and helps you get to your goals, achieve your whatever. Like for us, it's just been kind of funny. I turned it into what I call the carb wars, you know? So I turned it into this whole sort of idea that I'm a superhero, Uncle Keto, Captain Keto, facing down Lord Carb, you know, I just have fun with it. And, you know, quarantine, I was just sort of like, wow, it's time to just, I don't know. Well, I mean, I got nothing else going on. Let's give this a go and see how it works. And it's freaking great. It's introduced me to freaking Corona hard seltzer. That's for sure. And it's been freaking amazing.
Let's go.
Yeah. So
let's go. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, hey guys, you know what? It's time to say farewell because it's been a great show. As we talked about conspiracy theories, Batman, keto, people going to jail. It's pretty much what we do here. So we will come back. We'll hit you guys up with a Patreon episode soon, and we will talk about some sports, some college football. Is it even going to happen? It sounds like it's going to be a disaster. And let's talk about the king, LeBron James, and the new guy on the block, Luka Doncic. Okay, is he the next Larry Bird? I say yes. Ez says maybe. So, all right, guys. With that, I want to thank you. Make sure if you guys like the show, you can give us a review on iTunes. That really, really helps us out. And with that, this is Matt and Ez signing off.